Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. It is a chilly day across our region, with snow in some places you might be surprised to hear about. We'll have details on the big storm momentarily. In our top news, we'll also tell you about a powerful new force weighing in on climate change, Pope Francis. We'll have details about the Chargers' heartbreaking season ending. We'll tell you the identity of a man from East County who died after being tasered at the border. You'll hear about a parrot shot with a pellet gun in Lakeside, and about a San Diego-based Navy ship that's participating in the recovery of the ill-fated AirAsia flight that crashed into the sea. Two anonymous donors left the El Cajon Police Force money to give to people in need and reward those doing good deeds. So on our newsmaker interviews today, we'll be talking with two members of the El Cajon Police Association about Operation Santa Claus and officers' efforts to spread goodwill in the community. We'll also have an excerpt from an inspirational speech given at the Nile Sisters Portraits of Success event, which celebrated the achievements of local refugees. Learn where you can recycle your holiday tree on today's show. And then on Destination East County, hear about some hot events coming up in East County in January, including a Martin Luther King Day celebration in Lemon Grove and a Herman's Hermits concert at Sequan, as well as some midwinter hikes and a photography tour of the Anza Borrego Desert. We'll have national news updates from Public News Service. Plus, hear how former City Attorney Mike Aguirre has been burned by the court in his efforts to recover fees for representing the interests of ratepayers before the California Public Utilities Commission. We'll have a story about some local folks who are batty about that and want your help to protect these creatures of the night. And finally, on this New Year's Eve, we'll end our show with Auld Lang Syne, performed by the U.S. Navy Band. So stay tuned for all of this and more on today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. A thick blanket of snow has fallen across much of San Diego's inland region, transforming the terrain into a winter wonderland this New Year's Eve. Linda Klengler sent us photos taken at her Hidden Meadows home in Escondido at just 1,700 feet elevation, showing snow around her swimming pool and atop the palm trees. "I've been here 22 years and never had this happen," she says. This morning, Melody Munoz sent in photos from her home in Boulevard, where 3 to 4 inches of snow have fallen overnight, and the temperature on New Year's morning was a chilly 21 degrees. Julian received 9 inches of snow, and on Mount Palomar, a full foot of snow has fallen. Our news partner 10 News observes that those levels beat Big Bear. CHP reports that chains were required today on Sunrise Highway to Laguna Mountain, on Highway 79 in Hopatool, and Highway 78 between Santa Isabel and Julian. Numerous accidents were reported, including several big rigs reportedly trapped in the ice on westbound Interstate 8 near Ribbonwood Road and Boulevard, the CHP website indicated this morning. And in Julian, people flocked to the mountain town to enjoy the snow, and the line for the pie shop was already stretching down the street and around the block. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Ed Barreno with the Sports Report. There will be no Chargers games played during the postseason this year, as the Chargers' Super Bowl hopes ended on Sunday with their loss to the Kansas City Chiefs 19-7 in Missouri. It was far from their finest moment. The Chargers were without many starters, as they had a season plagued with injuries. For this matchup, starting running back Ryan Matthews and wide receiver Keenan Allen were out due to injuries, and the offensive line included the team's fifth-string center and second-string right guard. Hardly an intimidating lineup with a lot on the line. Quarterback Philip Rivers was sacked 7 times in the effort. The Chiefs were also without their starting quarterback, Helix High School graduate Alex Smith from La Mesa. He had suffered a lacerated spleen against the Steelers the week prior. The Chiefs managed to pull out a victory with 4 field goals as their backup quarterback failed to score a touchdown. The Chargers' sole bright spot was mustering a 69-yard drive and 1-yard rushing touchdown in the second quarter. But Coach Mike McCoy conceded, "We got beat," adding that the Chiefs out-executed the Chargers in every phase. The Bolts ended their season with a 9-7 record, which was enough last year to make the playoffs. But this year, they finished third in the AFC West And this year, they'll be at home watching the playoffs with the rest of us.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
Pope Francis is preparing to issue an edict calling on the world's 1.2 billion Catholics to take action on climate change, and a San Diego scientist's presentation helped persuade the Pope to take action. British newspapers cite Vatican sources who confirm that the Pope intends to publish an encyclical on climate change, which will be sent to all 4,000 bishops and 400,000 priests worldwide, who in turn will share the information with their parishioners. In addition, the Pope seeks to influence United Nations climate talks in Paris next year, as well as political leaders convening in New York for a UN General Assembly meeting in September. Pope Francis also plans to draw attention to the devastation he believes has been caused by climate change by visiting regions stricken by natural disasters. In recent months, the Pope has already been speaking out on climate change, also calling for a new financial and economic system to stop ecological devastation as well as human inequality. He has denounced an economic system that needs to plunder nature to fuel consumption, in his words. Speaking in South America, the Pope said, "Climate change, the loss of biodiversity, and deforestation are already showing their devastating effects in the great cataclysms we witness." Now, papal encyclicals are rare, and they're meant to convey serious attention to important issues. But the Pope's action is expected to meet with resistance by some conservative forces that deny climate change, including some U.S. evangelical churches. Calvin Beisner with the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation has said that the Pope should, quote, back off, unquote. But the Pope has made clear that he believes science and religion can be compatible and that the future of our planet is imperiled by deniers who base their views on false science, similar to the Flat Earth Society patrons who denied that the Earth was round long after Columbus' voyage proved it was. Modern-day members of the Flat Earth Society, in fact, continue this denial even after the Apollo space mission took photos from outer space showing the world is round. The Pope's decision to prioritize climate change came not long after the pontiff met with a scientist from San Diego's Scripps Institute of Oceanography. Virahabran Ramanathan, who organized a meeting at the Vatican on climate concerns. Scripps has been a global leader for decades in climate science research. A member of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, Ramanathan believes that despite scientific consensus that climate change is real, dangerous, and caused by human activity, religious leaders are now better positioned than scientists to inspire the public to take action. He told KPBS, "People need to hear when they go to temples, churches, or synagogues that this is not some scientific conspiracy. This is something that is happening." The San Diego scientists confirmed that the Vatican has agreed to help lead a massive mobilization of public opinion about the seriousness of climate change and why it's our responsibility to be good stewards of our planet. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
A man killed by Customs and Border Protection agents at the San Ysidro Crossing on Christmas Eve was an El Cajon resident. The county medical examiner's office has identified the man as 40-year-old Francisco Manuel Cesena. According to a statement issued by the U.S. Customs and Border Protections, Cesena was detained while trying to cross back into the U.S. from Mexico on a pedestrian crossing. After a records check revealed that he was wanted on a warrant and should be considered armed and dangerous, he was taken to a security area, where a pat-down revealed he was carrying heroin. There he allegedly jumped over a counter and attacked the two agents. During the scuffle, one of the agents fired a taser. Cesena collapsed and stopped breathing a short time later. Agents and paramedics performed CPR, and he was transported to a hospital where he died shortly after admission. An autopsy is pending. Four agents were also reportedly injured in the scuffle. They were taken to a hospital and screened for minor injuries. Cesena's death is being investigated by San Diego Police Homicide Detectives and by the Federal Department of Homeland Security's Office of the Inspector General, as well as an internal probe by Customs and Border Patrol. Reporting for East County Magazine, this is Ed Barrena.
For the third time in recent months, a wild parrot locally has been found injured due to a shot fired from a pellet gun. The most recent attack occurred December 20th in Lakeside, CBS News reports. A resident found the injured bird, which is now recuperating at SoCal Parrot Rescue in Jamul. Brooke Durham, founder of the Parrot Rescue Group, says the bird may never be able to fly again and could have bled to death. Hundreds of the feral parrots have been roosting in trees at the El Cajon Courthouse in recent weeks, and flocks of the green squawking birds have been seen across our region.
The earlier shootings, both of yellow-headed Amazon parrots, occurred at Imperial Beach in late September and in Ocean Beach last summer. Now, shooting a wild parrot is considered animal cruelty, punishable by up to 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine if the parrot pellet gun shooter is caught. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
The USS Sampson, a Navy ship homeported in San Diego, has joined the recovery effort for crashed AirAsia Flight 8501, the Pentagon has announced. The flight went missing Sunday and crashed into the Java Sea off Indonesia with 162 passengers and crew on board. Debris from the plane has been found, along with bodies in the sea confirmed to be from the ill-fated flight. The flight was traveling from Indonesia to Singapore during bad weather when communications with the plane were lost. The USS Sampson is a destroyer with sophisticated sonar, as well as two Seahawk helicopters designed for search and rescue and reconnaissance. At least 30 ships and planes were dispatched to the scene. This is the third recent loss of an airliner from Southeast Asia. One was shot down while flying over hostilities between Russian and Ukrainian forces, and the other, a Malaysian Airlines flight, went missing and has never been found. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barena.
You're listening to East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso, recording in our studio at the East County Wellness Center here in El Cajon. And today, my very special guests are Travis Howard, who's the Vice President of the El Cajon Police Officers Association, and Officer Samson Pack with the association. And they're both, of course, officers here in the city of El Cajon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're here today to talk about something very special that I like to call Operation Santa Claus. So, Officer Howard, can you tell us a little bit about how this got started? What happened?
This year, I was scheduled to work at our holiday storefront, which is in the Parkway Plaza Mall. So every year, we get assigned a space at the mall for a bunch of different reasons. One is extra security to show kind of the police presence at the mall to ensure shoppers that, you know, everything is safe mm-hmm. at the mall, and to do specialized details, and then also to let the community know what services the city offers or the historical aspect of our police department. So I was working there on December 23rd in the evening, and I was standing out in front kind of handing out stickers, badge stickers to kids as we saw them walk by. And I saw a man, middle-aged guy, walking down the path right in front of our storefront, and I kind of smiled at him. Didn't pay too much attention to him, and then he came up to me and just quickly handed me a folded door hanger. I thought it was an advertisement of some kind, so I just took it. I'm like, oh, thank you very much. He said mm-hmm. something like Merry Christmas. I don't remember exactly. And then just walked off.
And so, when you opened it, what was inside?
Yeah, there was an envelope for the Navy Federal Credit Union, which I thought was odd. And then on the back of the door hanger, so I guess it was folded in half. So when I opened it, the blank side had a note. And I believe you have the note in front of you.
I'm going to read it. And there was some money in that note. And it said, "Dear Officer, the media has not done the greatest job in showing all the good you do on a day-to-day basis. Risk your life, fight crime, protect the innocent, save kids from abuse, etc. Please take this money and stop five random people who you think could use it. An officer of the law always sees people at their worst. I hope you get joy with this humble offering. Pull them over, tell them that they have been targeted, and then hand them $20. Wish them a Merry Christmas. My desire is that people will look at my police force differently someday. At least five people will. Merry Christmas." So what did you think when you saw this?
Well, I was taken off guard. He didn't come straight towards the storefront. He was kind of walking by, and then when I made eye contact with him, he smiled at him. He came and gave me something, so that's why I thought it was an advertisement. I wasn't expecting it, and especially at a full note written to a police officer, I completely wasn't expecting.
Yeah, you probably get a lot of negative feedback sometimes from folks. It must have felt good to have something so positive.
Yeah, it, it did feel good. And then I open the envelope and I see that it's $100, and I'm like, oh no, because obviously there's very strict regulations about accepting any sort of money. And if I knew at all that there was money, I would have, you know, said, oh no, thank you. Thank you very much for, you know, for the kind words, but we can't accept any sort of money. But now I'm holding it and he's gone, so I have to do something with it.
Right.
So I immediately showed all the other officers that were working in the storefront, and I let him read the note. I showed him the guy had given us $100, five $20 bills. And so we were talking, well, what are we going to do? We could turn it in to the police department. I don't even know. It would be found property, I guess, or maybe surrendered property, so it would sit in our property room forever.
That wouldn't be fulfilling the wish of the donor.
Right, but this guy really went out of his way to, you know, to try to improve our relations with the community.
Yeah.
So I felt, and the other officers felt, that we should try our best to do what he wanted. So,
very good. So you found a special officer, I understand, to go out and pass out this first $100 donation. And who was it?
Yeah, it was Officer Davenport. And the reason we chose him was an officer that was working in the storefront, had worked with Officer Davenport in the past when he had arrested a woman who stole a very small bag of diapers. And she stole the smallest, cheapest bag of diapers in the store and said, you know, her reasoning was, I can't afford diapers, my baby, and he needs diapers.
Sure, yeah.
And so Officer Davenport, you know, still completed the arrest because he had to, and then afterwards gave her $20 from his wallet and said, here's some money, please go buy diapers for your baby.
So you decided he would be the good choice.
So we thought that would be
the perfect
guy to hand this out. So we called him over. Just so happened he had an investigations secretary work with a ride-along with him that night. So she got to read the note. Officer Davenport read the note, and I gave him the money, and their response was, oh, this is going to be fun. So I didn't talk to him at all the rest of the night. I went home after my shift, and it was about 11 o'clock at night, and I texted Officer Davenport, and I said, hey, how did it go? And he immediately called me back, and he very briefly went over and said, oh, we found five perfect people. There was a lady, an elderly lady, that was crying when we gave it to her. There was a family that said they would use it to buy groceries. He said, we had so much fun.
Wonderful.
We want to empty our bank accounts and continue doing this. We had the best time.
Well, and then you got to do it all over again because you got another $100 donation the very next day on Christmas Eve.
Right. I think it was Christmas Day.
Christmas Day.
Yes. On Christmas Day, one of our motorcycle officers was at Denny's. And when he came back to his motorcycle, there was in his helmet a $100 bill with another note. And all that note said was, thank you. That's
right.
It. So, again, we can't accept any sort of tips or any monetary money, you know, anything that is given to us because of what we do.
So you decided to give it forward once again and do the same thing all over.
Yes. So he gave it to his sergeant who had heard of what Officer Davenport did.
Mm-hmm.
The two nights before, so they decided they were going to split it up. So they broke the $100 bill up into five $20s, handed it out to five officers that were working patrol that day, and tasked them with giving it out to people who, you know, random people who they thought could use it.
Sounds like fun. And one of those officers is Officer Pack.
Yes.
Tell us what you did with that $20.
I just wanted to go business as usual, right? And I know that I think the good Lord would bring someone that would be deserving of the $20 bill, so made a traffic stop on Broadway on a family that was on their way to a Christmas dinner, and it was a stop for traffic for expired registration,
mm-hmm.
and it had the telltale signs of an operable car, had a check engine light, had expired tabs, and the driver in there was taking his three, you know, teenage children to Denny's.
Yeah, so someone who obviously was down on their luck.
Yeah, definitely. And they were polite. The kids were polite. The adult was polite. And he was trying to explain his circumstance about their expired registration. And he, you know, he obviously didn't want to go into a great amount of detail. And I didn't want to, you know, have him explain everything in front of his kids. So I ran him, make sure he wasn't a felon. And I offered him the $20, and I said,
"What was his reaction?"
He was shocked. He said, I think he said, seriously? And I said, yeah, I'm absolutely serious. There's no catch to it. And he was blown away, and he wanted to kind of get out of the car. And, I was like, no, you don't have to get out of the car. You can just, so he offered a firm handshake, and he said, nice. Thank you so much. And all the kids were pretty excited about mm-hmm. it. And, they were all like, thank you. And
yeah.
And it was just a good experience on Christmas. And working on Christmas isn't a bad thing, but like Travis was saying, we do see the worst of the worst in people on Christmas. And that particular day, we had several domestic violence incidents. We had several just disputes about presents and opening them, and just things that you wouldn't call the police typically for, but
people do.
And but that experience really it really lightened up the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, I bet. We hear so much in the news these days about negative things in terms of the relation between some police departments and communities, especially the communities of color. Did you make some efforts to reach out? Were the people that were chosen for this a variety of different races and ethnicities? Looking at the Facebook page, it looked like that was true.
I don't think we specifically tried to target. Again, I wasn't working on Christmas Day with those officers, but I don't believe we intended to diversify who we gave it to. It was kind of a random, as we stopped people, mm-hmm. Whoever, if we felt, they did a good deed or if they needed it, that we would hand it out. But there was a gentleman, an African-American gentleman who was wearing a Santa hat and beard, who had found a stray dog, and he picked up the stray dog and handed it, or found the owner and returned the dog to
nice.
The owner. And when the officer saw that, I believe it was
Peterson.
Mm-hmm. Officer Peterson saw that and then caught up to that guy and gave him his $20.
Very nice. What were some of the other circumstances?
Samson would probably be remember most. You just working
there. Yeah, one of the officers stopped a gal for a broken taillight. An mm-hmm. operable taillight, and she was on her way to, I believe, a Christmas function, and the people of the Christmas function came out of the house because she parked right in front of there, mm-hmm. and they wanted to explain the situation that she was, she was trying to get it fixed, and she hadn't had any money to get it fixed, and the officer, instead of writing a citation, gave her $20, and I think that was the picture on the newspaper where she's, like, stunned, receiving the $20. Which, the people at the Christmas function and her and
nice.
Everyone saw that was just a good
yeah.
deed.
Now, El Cajon has had a fair number of pedestrian fatalities, tragedies, and I understand one of the officers decided to reward someone who was doing the right thing out there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so our traffic division has this program, Check Before You Step, because there has been a rise in pedestrian fatalities because people just cut across the middle of the street without looking. They assume that, the car will see me and they'll stop, which obviously oftentimes isn't the case, especially
right.
in twilight situations. So this person on Christmas Day waited for three separate crosswalk lights to get across a street the correct way, and the officer saw that and said, you know what, this lady is going out of her way to make sure she's safe in a time when people just run across and are getting hit by cars. So he caught up with her and handed her the $20 for obeying the pedestrian crosswalks.
She was rewarded for doing the right thing.
Yes.
That's right.
Very good. Well, it sounds like a wonderful experience, and who knows, maybe some of our readers out there will pay it forward next year, and we'll have more people donating money for officers to give out. I heard about a similar thing back east somewhere, so apparently this is not the very first time this has happened, but maybe it's the start of a trend. What do you think?
Yeah. I know it was extremely enjoyable for the officers that got the privilege of doing it, and it's very humbling for me that someone, one, entrusted us with that money, and two, was wanted us to do it to help improve our relations with the community. So it was an awesome experience.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, Officer Howard and Officer Pack, for joining us here today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
This is Leon Thompson with some information on how you can help make this holiday season green. According to the National Christmas Tree Association, 25 to 30 million holiday trees are sold each year in the United States, and unfortunately, many of them are sent to our landfills. This holiday season, I Love a Clean San Diego and the County of San Diego have joined together to encourage residents to recycle their holiday trees instead of sending them to a landfill. Throwing away your holiday trees needlessly wastes a natural resource and decreases the life of local landfills. Trees and other yard waste can be easily made into compost and mulch, which are then used to improve soil health at residences, public parks, and local farms. Many communities now offer curbside pickup and or tree recycling drop-off locations. To find out where you can recycle your holiday tree, you can visit wastefreesd.org or call 877-R1-EARTH.
This is a public service announcement from East County Magazine. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts provide important information about much more than wildfires. In these winter months, you can receive free alerts via email or Twitter on your mobile phone about emergencies such as flash floods, road closures, heavy snow, and other severe weather alerts, as well as wildfires, traffic reports, and more. You can sign up for this free public service at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Indians.
The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
You're listening to East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
Next up, we're going to play for you a segment that was recorded earlier this month at the Nile Sisters Portraits of Success event, including some inspiring words from a keynote speaker that, while targeted at refugees, could apply equally well to us all.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso, your network for social justice. We are on location today with the Nile Sisters Development Initiative's second annual community celebration, Portraits of Success in City Heights.
Nile Sisters is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping local refugees. Founder Elizabeth Liu has just finished presenting awards to refugee students who completed the Nile Sisters Back-to-Back Skills Development Project in three categories: California Certified Nursing Assistants, Family Child Care Home Licensees, and Obtaining California Driver's Licenses. And next up, we are going to hear from keynote speaker Mark Caban, who was named a CNN hero and is the founder of Youth and Leaders Living Actively, YALA. Let's listen to his inspiring words.
I always found time to daydream. Most of the time it was when I was in class. Meanwhile, when I was living here as a kid, I got bullied a lot for looking different and being different. I didn't have the nice clothes, you know. I didn't have the nice shoes. And so I felt really isolated at that time. But despite that, I would always find time to dream. And I'd always find time to dream about what I wanted to become. And as an adult, I still think that I do that a lot. If you come in my office, you'll see me daydream. So one thing that I did have going for me as a kid is that I was a pretty good athlete. I played football and I played basketball. And eventually I got a football scholarship to go to Kansas. And when I was in high school, I was working with a football scout, to get me a scholarship. And when I got the scholarship, I was so excited that I went to my counselor. I still remember this day. I was like 17 years old. I tell my counselor, I got into this university in Kansas, and can you help me take all the paperwork and everything? And I thought, as an adult, she was going to help me. Instead, she doubted everything that I said to her, and she made me feel like I was lying, that I didn't have the GPA, because I did not have that grade of grade. I was daydreaming most of the time in class. So that really hurt me. And then my football coaches also told people on my team that I was not telling the truth and I didn't have a scholarship. And at that time in my life, I think it was the first time that I realized the 1 in 20. You know, and I didn't know at that time, but for every 20 people in your life that you're going to meet, there's going to be 19 people that do not believe in you, but there's going to be one person that does. For me at that point, that one person that believed me was my scout. And all that mattered is that he got me into school, and so I did go to Kansas, and that was great.
Yeah.
When I was a student in the university, I also ran across the same kind of people. People that believed in me and people that did not. But luckily at that time, I listened to the people that did believe in me. It's always the people who don't believe me that are a little bit louder, you know? So I graduated from university and I came back to Kansas, and I spent nearly 2 years as a young person trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And I got the inspiration to start my organization, and as you can tell, we have had a little bit of success. But at that time as well, there were people that were saying that I couldn't do what I was going to try to do, that I was only 23 years old, that I was naive. Again, it was the 1 in 20, and the one person that believed me, I listened and I worked with that person. So I think that's really important in life to always believe in that, always to believe in that one person. So what I see in the room today is people that believe in you. And I know that the Nile sisters are those 1 in 20 that are going to believe in what you're doing. I think it's going to be a lot more than 1 in 20 in this room or a select group. I just want to say that please keep dreaming. Please keep believing in yourself. And just listen to the people that believe in you. Because there's something my friend called a crazy maker. There's always people in your life that are not happy, that don't believe in what they're doing. And so that when you have a little bit of light, they're going to try to snuff it out. So you got to keep those people far away. And give audience to the people that are in this room, like the Nile sisters that believe in you. I believe in you. And we just had an event yesterday that my colleague Sarah organized. We gave awards to all of our kids. And that's what we give them. We give them that gift of believing in them. And they give us the gift of having a purpose in life. And I think at the end of the day, my dream was to always have a purpose. And I think that as a kid, and I was dreaming about being a leader, I think what I was really dreaming about was having a purpose in my life. So please pursue your purpose and pursue your happiness. So to the 1 in 20 in the room, guys, thank you so much.
Elizabeth Liu thanked the many volunteers who have worked hard to make Nile Sisters a success, adding,
Nile Sisters is making a huge difference in our community.
But more help is needed, she emphasized.
There is a lot of ways you can just get involved with Nile Sisters. We need volunteers. We cannot do it all by ourselves. Ask me if I want to involve or if I want to volunteer, what can I do?
You can learn more about Nile Sisters or get involved by visiting nilesisters.org.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week. This week's Destination East County has events ranging from a winery concert to a walk up Mount Helix.
Plus, we'll have a preview of coming attractions, including a concert by the famed British rock band Herman's Hermits at Sequan, a photo tour in the Anza Borrego Desert, and a Martin Luther King Jr. birthday concert in Lemon Grove.
So stay tuned for all these events and much, much more from East County Magazine.
The Grossmont Mount Helix Improvement Association will host a walk to the top of Mount Helix on Saturday, January 3rd. Meet at 10 a.m. at the fire station on Viviera and Mount Helix for the walk. Stroll up Mount Helix Drive with your friends and neighbors. There will be refreshments waiting for your enjoyment at the top. Children and well-behaved dogs are welcome.
The Waits will be performing at the San Pasqual Winery Tasting Room in La Mesa, 8364 La Mesa Boulevard on Saturday, January 3rd at 7 p.m. The Waits, an acoustic duo on guitar and mandolin, play and sing a blend of folk, bluegrass, country, classic rock, and more.
The largest outdoor ice skating rink in Southern California is located at the Viejas Outlet Center in Alpine, and during the holidays, it's open from noon to 10 p.m. from December 20th through January 4th. Whether you're an experienced skater looking for space for spins, twirls, and jumps, or a novice in need of rental skates, you'll find ice available through January 4th at the Viejas Ice Rink, which is larger than the skating rink at Rockefeller Center.
Mission Trails Regional Park offers free concerts in the Visitor Center Theater on Sundays at 3 p.m. Upcoming performances include guitarist James Earp on January 4th and the Santee Community Chorus on January 18th.
Now for a preview of coming attractions. If you love to fish, you may want to mark your calendars for the trout reopener at Santee Lakes on January 10th and 11th, when the lakes will be stocked with 2,000 pounds of rainbow trout. Prizes will be awarded for the 5 biggest fish caught. There will also be a breakfast sponsored by the Lions Club and prizes including fishing poles, tackle boxes, bicycles, camping gear, and fishing passes. For those lucky fishing folks who catch a 5-pound trout or larger, you will also be entered in the grand prize drawing for a flat-screen TV. For details, visit SanteeLakes.com.
The legendary British rock band Herman's Hermits and its original lead singer, Peter Noon, will be performing 2 concerts on January 17th at Sequan's Live and Up Close Theater in El Cajon. Showtimes are at 6:30 and 8 p.m. Noon's classic hits included I'm Into Something Good, Mrs. Brown, You've Got a Lovely Daughter, I'm Henry VIII, I Am, and Can't You Hear My Heartbeat. Herman's Hermits sold over 60 million recordings, including 14 single hits and 7 albums that win gold. For concert tickets and details, visit sequan.com.
A Martin Luther King Jr. birthday concert will be held on Saturday, January 17th at 5 p.m. on Lemon Grove's Main Street Promenade. That's at 3443 Main Street in Lemon Grove. The concert is a special feature of the Lemon Grove Live Concert Series and will feature the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Choir of San Diego Ensemble members. Admission is free.
Nature and landscape photographers Ernie and Katie Cowan will lead a Cactus and Canyons photo tour to explore some of the most scenic and secret places of Enza Borrego Desert State Park on Saturday, January 17th. This all-day hike runs from 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. The tour is designed for photographers to enhance your techniques and transform landscape photography into works of art, not just snapshots. You'll visit narrow and winding slot canyons to learn proper exposure, lens selection, and composition in the morning. Then visit other park locations in the afternoon with a lunch stop at a local restaurant in Borrego Springs. The tour is open to all skill levels. For more details and tickets, visit theabf.org.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org.
Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, attractions in San Diego's East County. See you around, East County.
You're listening to East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
Next up, we bring you some national news on the East County Magazine Show from Public News Service.
Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, December 31st, New Year's Eve, 2014. I'm Troy Wild. Today's Coast to Coast News features 8 stories, including bodies and debris are being recovered from that Air Asia flight that crashed in waters off Indonesia, 1 million people expected to celebrate New Year's Eve in Times Square tonight, and Hillary Clinton and President Obama continue to be the most admired people. And now our top story. This New Year's Eve is heartbreaking for the families of those aboard the Air Asia flight that crashed in waters off Indonesia earlier this week. Bodies and debris are being recovered at the crash site. The cause of the crash remains under investigation. What we do know, the Airbus lost contact with ground control in bad weather on Sunday while en route to Singapore from Indonesia. There were 162 people on board. That includes passengers and crew members. It's being reported that the majority of those on the flight were Indonesian, but there were also passengers from Britain, France, Malaysia, Singapore, and South Korea. Meanwhile, people in the U.S. and around the world will be celebrating New Year's Eve tonight. An estimated 1 million people expected in Times Square for the annual dropping of the New Year's Eve ball. Millions more expected to be watching those festivities on television. As the holiday season partying continues tonight, a sobering statistic is that as many as 800 people die in car crashes involving a drunk driver each December. It's why this month is one of the most dangerous times on the nation's roads. Also why organizations such as Mothers Against Drunk Driving are working hard to make sure people take precautions so they don't hurt themselves or someone else. Jan Withers is the national president of MAD.
We know too much now. We all know about designated drivers. We all know the dangers. But the key is not to decide after you've had some alcohol in your system. We really need to make a sober decision before we ever start drinking how we're going to get home safely.
As the year winds down, the nation's economy appears to be heating up. Unemployment and gas prices are at five-year lows. Wall Street is doing record business. And those key economic indicators are also strong at the state level. For example, Nevada's economy adding jobs faster than all other states except for Colorado and North Dakota. Bill Anderson, chief economist with the State Department of Employment, Training, and Rehabilitation, says 3.8% job growth during the first half of 2014 reflects a gain of up to 40,000 new jobs in Nevada.
You can definitely see signs of a pickup in Nevada and a recovery, at least on the jobs front, that's stronger than it is throughout the rest of the nation.
Anderson says professional and business services, as well as leisure and hospitality, are the leading sectors for job growth. He notes that job gains measured in the thousands were also added in construction, healthcare, and manufacturing. Nevada is ending the year with a 6.9% unemployment rate, which remains about a point above the national average. Anderson notes that the state has come a long ways since the dark days of the Great Recession, when Nevada's jobless rate peaked at 13.9%. He expects the positive jobs trend to continue.
By the time we get out to 2017, we're looking at year-over-year job growth that approaches 50,000 a year. And a lot of that improvement in growth is attributable to the Tesla project.
The Tesla project is the electric car maker's so-called gigafactory to be built in the Reno area. That's expected to create up to 6,000 jobs. While Americans may be celebrating the new year, experts say a little time spent preparing for tax season in the next few days will pay off in the months ahead. Luis Garcia with the IRS says now is the time to make sure you know where all of your important tax documents are so you're not scrambling to find them when the deadline is looming.
That means if you've got Form 1099s from your bank or you have your W-2 from your employer, you want to make sure that all those documents end up in the same place. Now, whether it's a shoebox or a folder, that's really the most important thing.
Garcia also offers a reminder that anyone who wants to claim a charitable donation for this year needs to make that donation before midnight tonight and to have appropriate records where necessary. More detailed information, forms, and publications are online at irs.gov. Every year of the oil boom in North Dakota has brought new challenges and struggles. As John Michelson reports, among the issues on the forefront for 2015 is radioactive waste.
State regulators are pursuing plans to increase the allowable oil and gas radioactive waste disposal limit by tenfold, saying the higher maximum will not be a threat to human health or welfare. But Don Morrison with the Dakota Resource Council disagrees, saying if the waste is no longer being transported to other states where limits are higher, it will end up in regional dumping grounds.
They want to destroy and contaminate farmland in North Dakota in order to take care of their problem.
Public hearings on the plan to increase the level of radioactivity in the waste accepted at the state's oil and gas and industrial landfills will be held in mid-January in Bismarck, Fargo, and Williston.
Here at Public News Service, we keep an eye on C-SPAN to help us monitor and report on events in the nation's capital. As the year is ending, C-SPAN is reporting on its most viewed programming of 2014. The network says actor Seth Rogen testifying before a Senate Appropriations Committee on the impact of Alzheimer's disease back in February was its most watched video of the year, capturing 6.7 million views. Rogen told how his mother-in-law, a retired school teacher, has been devastated by early-onset Alzheimer's.
After forgetting who she and her loved ones were, my mother-in-law, a teacher for 35 years, then forgot how to speak, feed herself, dress herself, and go to the bathroom herself, all by the age of 60.
Rogen also called on lawmakers to make Alzheimer's research a top priority. He says he started the nonprofit Hilarity for Charity to help raise money for the disease, for which there is no known cure or medication to halt its progression. The CDC reports that an estimated 5 million Americans live with Alzheimer's, and the disease is among the top 10 leading causes of death in the United States. Americans continue to name Hillary Clinton as the woman living anywhere in the world whom they admire most, and President Obama as the man they admire most. That's according to Gallup Poll's annual ranking of the most admired people. Former Secretary of State and the possible 2016 White House hopeful Clinton has held the top women's spot in each of the last 13 years, while President Obama has been the most admired man in each of the last 7 years, beginning with 2008, the year he was elected president. Gallup ranks Oprah Winfrey and Malala Yousafzai as the second and third most admired women, while Pope Francis and former President Bill Clinton occupy the second and third rankings on the most admired men list. I'm Troy Wild for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Leon Thompson with East County Magazine. Former San Diego City Attorney Micah Geary led a successful fight to block San Diego Gas and Electric's efforts to bill ratepayers $463 million to cover the company's uninsured liabilities for two of the 2007 wildfires, fires that California Public Utilities Commission found were caused by SDG&E's negligence. State law allows interveners in cases before the California Public Utilities Commission to collect their legal fees for representing the interests of ratepayers and the public. Yet, even though Aguirre won his argument, when the CPUC voted down the rate hike for fire costs, the CPUC blocked Aguirre from recouping any of his expenses. Now the 4th District Court of Appeal has denied Aguirre's request for payment, effectively serving as the Grinch who stole Christmas for Aguirre and his law partner at Aguirre & Severson, which spent 3 years working on the case. Aguirre says California courts are abdicating any supervision of the CPUC, the Reader reports. The CPUC has faced repeated accusations of conflicts of interest, including emails proving collusion between the CPUC and Pacific Gas and Electric to minimize PG&E's liability for the deadly San Bruno pipeline explosion. Michael Peavy, the embattled CPUC chairman who resigned this week, is the former top executive of PG&E. Peavy, along with at least one other commissioner, has also been wined and dined on multiple continents by SDG&E. In a now infamous video posted on YouTube, Peavy demanded that Aguirre shut up during a public hearing in which Aguirre grilled him on his overly cozy ties to the utility companies. Aguirre has said that his law firm will appeal the appellate court's decision to the Ninth Circuit Federal Appeals Court on grounds that his firm's constitutional right to aggressively represent its clients was denied.
At the Lakeside River Park Conservancy's recent event called Batty for Bats, our correspondent Barbara Lovelace learned some fascinating facts about these winged creatures commonly found across our region. Many people think that bats are rodents. They look like rats with wings, an image perpetuated by a Carly Simon song back in the 70s. But in fact, bats are much more closely related to, are you ready for this? Us. Project Wildlife's bat team member, Cindy Myers, brought along two rescued Mexican free-tailed bats to this event. Rescued baby bats are often treated a lot like puppies, snuggled in blankets and sucking on pacifiers when they're young. Bats play a critical role in our environment. Here are some of the amazing things that Barbara and the other attendees learned about these creatures of the night. Bats, or Chiroptera, are the second most diverse mammalian order after rodents, with over 1,300 different species. In fact, bats make up almost one quarter of all the mammal species in the world. If you notice your hummingbird nectar disappearing from a feeder overnight, you don't have monstrous night-active hummingbirds. You may instead be getting visits from a very thirsty nectar-feeding bat species, the Mexican long-tongued bat that lives in San Diego County and the southwestern U.S. The Western Mastiff bat is the biggest bat species in America, and it lives in San Diego, too. No special equipment is needed to hear the Western Mastiff. They echolocate at a frequency low enough for us to hear, and it sounds like a radar ping. The Congress Avenue Bridge in Austin, Texas, is the largest urban bat colony on Earth. 1.5 million Mexican free-tailed bats live there and emerge in their massive numbers on summer evenings. Citizens were terrified at first, but through the work of Bat Conservation International, this colony now brings in $8 to $10 million a year in tourism. Every summer night at Bracken Cave between Austin and San Antonio, Texas, visitors can witness what Myers calls one of the world's great wildlife spectacles. It's the largest aggregation of wild mammals on Earth, with 20 million Mexican free-tailed bats emerging to feed on 200 tons of insects every single night. The value of the pest control service to agriculture provided by bats in the U.S. alone ranges from a low of $3.7 billion to a high of $53 billion a year, the U.S. government estimates. Nectar and fruit-eating bats help pollinate and propagate food plants that we love, such as avocados, bananas, peaches, cacao, which produces chocolate, and agave, which is used to make tequila, to name just a few. Now, if you hate mosquitoes, you might want to welcome bats, because just one of these little guys can eat 1,000 mosquito-sized insects in an hour. And this next fact is just sweet. Big brown bat pups and red bat pups purr just like kittens. Habitat loss and destruction, as well as wind turbines that can make bats' lungs explode, are contributing to the decline of bat species worldwide. So are myths and misconceptions. You can help protect San Diego's 22 species of bats by following these tips from Project Wildlife. Don't trim tall, dried palm fronds in the spring or summer. 9 species of bats, including western yellow bats, roost there year-round and have their maternity colonies there, and the babies can't fly away. Plus, if there's an active nest or a bat roost, it may also be illegal to disturb them, since many of these species are protected as endangered. But don't ever rescue or otherwise handle a bat, dead or alive, with your bare hands. Doing so could expose you to rabies, which is spread through saliva, and will also be an automatic death sentence for a living bat. The Department of Health has to euthanize any bat that's had direct contact or pet contact because they need to get a sample of the bat's brain tissue to test for rabies. Using leather gloves instead, you can contain an injured animal with a box or towel and then call Project Wildlife at 619-225-WILD, W-I-L-D, for assistance. While rabid bats have been found on rare occasions in San Diego County, it's good to keep the risk in perspective. Only a couple of people a year have died from bat rabies in the entire United States since the 1950s. Your risk is higher of dying from a lightning strike or even a bee sting. Don't use fly traps or sticky glue traps meant for rodents if bats are around, since they can get stuck and die a slow and cruel death. Do you have a swimming pool or large pond that bats might favor swooping over for a little insect snack? If so, you can get a frog log, which serves as an emergency escape route for bats and other small creatures that may fall into the water. And finally, you can help save bats, as well as many bird species, by keeping cats indoors. For more information about bats, you can visit Project Wildlife at projectwildlife.org and Bat Conservation International at batcon.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
It's the time of year when San Diego County gets most of its rainfall, and this winter it's more important than ever to take advantage of every drop that Mother Nature delivers to us. The county is asking residents and businesses to turn off your irrigation systems and leave them off for up to 2 weeks after storms that provide significant rainfall. A few rainy days can provide enough water for lawns to survive for long stretches without irrigation, and they provide a valuable chance to save stored water supplies for next summer when water reserves will be even more important to help our region withstand drought conditions. After 3 straight dry years, the San Diego County Water Authority has declared a drought alert condition, and mandatory water conservation measures are in place countywide. For details about restrictions in different communities, go to whenindrought.org. Mark Weston, chair of the Water Authority's Board of Directors, says widespread efforts to decrease irrigation following storms can save large volumes of water and help minimize the impact of any water supply reductions in 2015. Outdoor watering accounts for more than half of a typical household's water use in California, and it has become a focal point for water conservation as the drought extends into a 4th consecutive year. Jeff Stevenson, a principal water resources specialist for the Water Authority, says that after a storm, do not begin watering again until the top 1 or 2 inches of soil are dry. Lawns that lose their lush green luster will rejuvenate with the next rain. Reporting for East County Magazine, this is Leon Thompson.
This is a public service announcement from East County Magazine. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts provide important information about much more than wildfires. In these winter months, you can receive free alerts via email or Twitter on your mobile phone about emergencies such as flash floods, road closures, heavy snow, and other severe weather alerts, as well as wildfires, traffic reports, and more. You can sign up for this free public service at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Indians.
Here's some good news for homeowners. Fewer San Diego County residents are losing their homes to foreclosure. From November of last year to November of this year, the number of foreclosures countywide fell 23%, according to DataQuick, which tracks real estate market data. The improvement is due largely to property values rising, enabling most homeowners who can't make their mortgage payments to sell their homes rather than face foreclosure. Before, many homeowners found themselves underwater with a home value lower than their mortgage. The median home price in San Diego County is now $430,000. In November, only 334 default notices were filed by lenders. That's a big drop from June 2008, the worst of the foreclosure crisis, when over 2,000 foreclosures occurred. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Leon Thompson.
This New Year's Eve, we'd like to take a moment to thank all of our listeners for your support this year and to wish all of you and your families a very happy and successful New Year. If you're out driving this New Year's Eve in the snow and ice, be careful. Be aware there may be sheriff DUI patrols, so be sure to use a designated driver or a ride service to get you safely home. We'd like to end our show today with the music of Auld Lang Syne this New Year's Eve, performed by the U.S. Navy Band. This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technicians, Leon Thompson and Ed Barena, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.